From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Noah Adams. In China, construction cranes dominate the skyline. It's a country that knows how to build and build fast. Those skills will be essential after last week's devastating earthquake. Today, China's government vowed to rebuild within 3 years. My colleague Melissa Block headed up into the mountains today in the county of Wenchuan.
We're driving toward the town of Yingshou. We're going up a twisting mountain road where huge boulders roll down in rock slides. We've seen huge trucks that have been completely crushed, flipped over as if they were Tonka toys, and cars that have been completely smashed by the rocks that flew off these mountains.
It's a long, slow drive. After the earthquake, these roads were so filled with boulders that rescue teams couldn't get through. Now the roads are mostly cleared, but still nervous-making.
The original road is completely buckled by the force of the earthquake. You can see the pavement split in two, and we're going on a little dirt diversion around the part that caved in.
And on every side, you see evidence of the landslides that tore down these mountains last week.
It's a very hazy day, so it's hard to see off into the distance, but all around us are mountains, and you can see through the haze, where it should be green, it's brown, where huge landslides sheared away sides of those mountains.
All along this road, we see Chinese soldiers in green camouflage uniforms, and we start to see bright patches of blue everywhere. These are government-issued tents with the Chinese characters for disaster relief printed in white.
And another sign that life for some people is going on. A woman hanging laundry out on the clothesline next to her house in the middle of all of this destruction.
We've reached the end of the paved road. A policeman tells us up ahead the road is gone, so we turn down a steep dirt path. It leads onto a bumpy, muddy road that work crews have carved into the bottom of the mountain so rescue teams could get in.
We're still trying to get to Yingshou. We're told it's not too many miles ahead, maybe 3 or 4 miles ahead.
And soon we see why the real road is closed. High above us, the elevated road has a long section that's gone. We drive by the missing section. It's maybe 100 feet long. It's crashed to the ground far below in a mangled mass.
The supports for this elevated road that's over our heads right now, these supports are twisted in very strange angles, and there are big cracks in them. This whole structure must be very unstable. Not a good feeling to be driving under it right now. Okay, we've come to a sign that says Yingshou Town. So this is where we've been trying to get all day. There are people from the Chongqing Disease Control Center walking into town ahead of us. We just passed a sign that said Disinfection Station. There's a middle school off to my left.
As in so many villages, Yingshou's children paid a terrible price during the earthquake. Both this middle school and an elementary school collapsed, killing hundreds of children. I find 76-year-old Zhang Jiyu in her makeshift shelter along the dusty road. The family has lashed a few sheets to wooden poles and salvaged some tiny chairs and a desk from the school right behind them.
Thank you very much for coming all this way and caring for this.
She tells me her 12-year-old granddaughter was crushed to death in her school. I can't let her go, the grandmother says. I raised her myself. She says, the night before my granddaughter died, she was clipping my fingernails for me. She was a very good student, always first in her class. I ask Mrs. Zhang if she wants to stay in Yingshou or leave. She says, I want to leave, but my husband is very stubborn and doesn't want to go. She says she wants the family to move away and settle somewhere better.
I've read that there were 10,000 people living here in Yingshou before the earthquake and that maybe just half of them survived. And when you look around, you hardly see any residents at all. This town has been sucked of life. It looks like a ghost town. But this town has pretty much been wiped off the map. And the question for those who did survive now is, where will they go?
As I leave Yingxiu, I meet Tang Min headed out of town. I ask him, will you stay in your town? He flutters his hands quickly from side to side. No, he says, even walking on the soil in Yingxiu makes my heart tremble. A little farther down the road, we stop to listen to the sound of life and work resuming. 71-year-old Xiao Yuan Min is beating dried stalks of rapeseed with a bamboo thresher to shake the seeds loose. They'll be pressed to make canola oil. He just started back to work yesterday. He says, I can't wait any longer. It's harvest time. I have to take care of the crops or they'll rot. In Sichuan province, slowly, life goes on.